Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. If you would please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And just a very light message tonight. We're going to be looking at the subject of basic requisites. Basic requisites of Bible study. It's a hard word to say for me this time of day. Basic I shouldn't have repeated it. Thanks. Our Bible study. Requirements, how about that? Same word, almost. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to look at from verse, let's look from verse 10 down to verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God, who hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for being allowing us to be here in your house. We thank you for the freedom we have to open your word. And Father, as we just meet around your word now, I pray that you would just quieten our minds and help us, Lord, to be focused. We thank you for the cool of the evening. Thank you for the songs that we've been able to sing and praises to your name. And Father, now we ask that your Holy Spirit would work in us and show us those things tonight from your word that would strengthen our faith and encourage us in our walk with you, in our service for you. Well, thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you read your Bible this week? God knows. God knows. I remember a missionary once preaching, said, if no one's read their Bible more than you have this week, how much reading's been done? I sat there quite guilty, thinking, man, not much. but that's always stuck with me. He went further and swung with his left hand after he hit me with his right, and he said, if no one's prayed more than you have this week, how much praying's been done? And I was like, whoa, struck out again. But you know, as Christians, we need to arm ourselves with the Word of God, amen? And the Word of God ought to be frequently read. We ought to study the Word, search the Scriptures daily. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. All sorts of Scriptures that are given for us to be frequently reading the Word of God. And fighting off the attacks of the devil, who would like to darken our minds, darken our understanding. And so I thought tonight it'd be good just to look at a basic outline of three requisites of Bible study, and that is spiritual sight, knowing the divine instructor, and most importantly, having a surrendered heart, having a surrendered heart. You know, you might go into a Bible bookstore these days, Koorong or wherever it may your Bible store may be, and you might visit the Bible section of that store, and you'll find a variety of Bibles that you could buy. I remember listening to George Lucas here when he first got saved. He went, Wally was able to lead him to the Lord, and he says, now you need to go and buy a Bible. So the next morning George was off to go and buy a Bible, and he got down to Koorong, and he saw this great wall of Bibles, and he's like, oh. So he's on the phone to Wally. He said, Wally, what? I'm here to buy a Bible. What do I do? Wally was out mowing the lawn. Apparently, he stopped there in an instant. He said, I'll be there in 5 minutes. So he met him down at Coorong. But George was just taken back by the number of Bibles and the versions that were up there. And so thankfully, he had Wally to rest on. And Wally came down and led him to buy a Bible. I think it was actually New King James, but we won't say. But it's okay. So, but anyway, you go into Coorong, for example, and it's like a marketing paradise. All right, it's we'll see signs there that it might be your most recent translation available. All right, here's a Bible, the most recent translation available. Or you might see another sign. It says expresses itself in a language that the English-speaking world uses today. You think, well, that'd be pretty good. I'll buy that if you didn't know any better. Another sign, written in up-to-date language that has been thoroughly tested. Wow, that's a good one, isn't it? Written in an up-to-date language. What's an up-to-date language? Anyone know? Has been thoroughly tested. I don't know who tested it, but and so it goes on. There's all these signs there, marketing, trying to appeal to the customer or the individual to buy their particular version. And of course, from these statements, if you like, you could probably gather that the basic requisite for understanding the Bible is to own, read, and study one or more of the modern versions. But is that the truth? Is the KJV outdated? Here's a question. And I'm not going to launch out into a massive sermon now and open up a big platform to debate versions and things like that. I think most of us here know that this church stands and preaches on the KJV version, and will be. We have a basis for that, but that's not for tonight. That's for Pastor Matt to address at another time. who'd be a pastor, right? But anyway, so, but we know that that today the devil's trying to convince people that the Word of God is just too hard to understand. The Word of God is too hard to understand. Most people that you talk to, and you'll hear this especially if they're not saved, is that the Bible's just too hard to understand. Well, they've got a false perception about the Word of God. It's just a book of rules. I explained in my Sunday school class last year that you think the Bible's a rule book. Well, that's actually good. it's a good thing. Rules are boundaries, and boundaries are set out to protect us. Remember the example we had of the schoolyard? Remember the schoolyard with no fence on a busy highway, and all the kids at playtime wouldn't go out and use all the land that was available to them because they were too scared. They were going to get run over by a truck or something. The traffic was horrendous. And so the principal erects a big fence around the perimeter of the property and then observes at the next lunch hour when the fence is up. The kids are out there playing inside the boundary. And enjoying the freedom that they had within that boundary. And so if someone says to you, oh, the Bible's just a bunch of rules, well, yes, it is, but it's there to set a perimeter for you to enjoy freedom inside that perimeter. It's there to set a perimeter for your protection, for your guidance, and so forth. So, yes, the Bible is a real book, but it's more than that, of course. Some people believe the Bible's just a bunch of genealogies. I tried to read the Bible one day, person will say, and it was this person beget that person, beget that person, beget that person. Oh, it was just, I couldn't understand a thing. Well, of course, as we'll see in a minute, as we saw in our text tonight, the natural man, the unsaved person, doesn't have that understanding. And of course, they're not going to understand the Word of God. They need to be born again. They need to be born again before they have the Spirit leading them and enlightening them. So it's not a problem with the KJV, people's understanding. It's rather a problem with the human mind and the heart that causes us to be in darkness when it comes to understanding God's word. Now, look at 2 Corinthians, if you wouldn't mind, just turning over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, backs up this point. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and following says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." All right, if you can't understand, it's hid to them that are lost. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So we see that, again, the problem is not exactly with the KJV version. Is the KJV outdated? Of course it's not. What makes it hard to understand? Well, it's the God of this world. It's your spiritual status, so to speak. Are you born again? Or do you have a hard heart? Maybe your heart is hard. And of course, your sight with that hard heart is dimmed to the light of the glorious gospel. Fact is, as Christians, we need to have an understanding, don't we, of the Word of God, an understanding of the Word of God. If you want to just look at, I had a verse here. Actually, skip over to Proverbs for a second. Proverbs chapter 4. And verse 5. Every Christian needs to have understanding of the Word of God. And this is in relation to wisdom and understanding. They go hand in hand. Verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 4 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom, understanding, wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honour. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give... to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." Get wisdom, get understanding. You know, Christians, we need to have an understanding of the Word of God, and it's not for us to say that the Word of God is too hard. And if we are at that point in our lives right now where we say, "I don't want to read the Word of God," or "I don't enjoy reading the Word of God," or I'm not inspired to read the Word of God because I just don't understand it, then we need to look beyond the version, beyond the words and the page, and look into our own hearts. See, with understanding, you gain biblical convictions. That ought to be a prayer for all of us collectively, for our young people and older people alike. We need to be Christians of conviction. And we'll only ever get biblical convictions if we have a thorough understanding of what we read. I have a desire right now as I teach the primary Sunday school class that the children will not only know the stories contained within the Word of God, but actually apply them. So therefore, the Word of God becomes real. Now, how do they apply it? Well, they actually understand what they're reading. All right, and that's why it's important to, when you're interpreting the Word of God, to make sure that you put it in context and so forth. But if we're going to gain convictions in our heart, we need to understand what we're reading. And we can only understand the Word of God, if I believe we meet these basic requisites that I'll finally get to in a second. We've got to be careful that we're not leaning toward ideologies when we read the Word of God, that we're not reading the Word of God based on our own ideals or ideologies. We've got to be careful that we don't read the God in a bias toward feelings or emotion. All right, what feels good, what feels right, what feels sensible, whatever, because that's only just baseless emotionalism. All right, that's not convictions; they're just feelings, and we've got to be careful with that. Okay, there's a whole range of churches in the world today that appeal to that. Feelings, feel-good experiences, and push for you to make decisions based on those feelings. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous. We need to be making decisions based on the Word of God, but by having a thorough understanding of the Word of God, which actually gives us convictions to stand upon it. See, if we're only making decisions based on feelings, we're going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We're going to be unstable, but the Bible calls for us to be steadfast. And of course, we can only be steadfast through understanding the Word of God, which will then give us a conviction in our heart to stand upon. Conviction that will anchor us into the Word of God, anchor us to become unmovable, no matter what gets thrown at us. So it is necessary for Christians to have an understanding of the Word of God. If we don't understand or have that right understanding of the Word of God, then of course, I believe we're in dangerous ground. But anyway, let's have a look with that in mind. Sorry, I didn't say that for nothing. But with that in mind, let's look at these basic requisites of Bible study. First of all, spiritual sight. The need to understand. Falling apart. The need to understand spiritual truth. All right, so verse 14 of our text, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says here, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Right? Who's the natural man? That's the unsaved person. Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned, if you like, spiritually dead, because they do not know Christ. Without Christ, they have no life. Without life, of course, they're dead. That's not too hard to understand. But we need to understand, as Christians, we need to have spiritual sight when we're reading the Word of God. When we're studying the Word of God and looking for what God has for us, we need to be led of the Spirit. The fact is, without inner illumination of the Holy Spirit, as we alluded to just before, we know that the natural man has no capacity to understand the spiritual truth. All right, and so as alluded to in John chapter 3, it says that you must be born again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God?" And that the Spirit dwelleth in you. So we need to be thankful to God for His Holy Spirit, because it's with that Holy Spirit that we get understanding of His Word. Verse 12 of our text today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of who? Which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Now, we've received not the spirit of the world, all right, not worldly things, feelings, emotion, whatever, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we need to be Spirit-filled. We need to be led of the Spirit as we study the Word of God. We need to be praying that the Spirit leads us as we study the Word of God, as we look into the Word of God, being led of the Spirit. We can only, of course, be led of the Spirit if we know the divine instructor, and that's our next requisite. Okay. So first of all, first requisite there is spiritual sight. The second requisite is divine instructor, knowing the divine instructor. We know that the Bible is never a dry book to those who intimately know its author. All right, know who it is. Let's turn to the verse that we all know, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm sure that you all know this verse. You probably say it without reading it, but let's be sure. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Thought I had a different version, but it's all right. I was in the wrong chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by who? Inspiration of who? God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And what's the result? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or fully equipped, if you like, ready to go, ready to serve unto all good works. All right, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All right, so we need to know that God inspired these words. These are God's word. This is God's book. This is God's word, inspired writers, as we know, inspired by God. But we know, as the Scriptures say there, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When we're approaching our Bible study with this in mind, knowing who wrote it, knowing that it was in God inspired, we also need to approach with prayer. Let's turn to a couple of verses here, looking at this, Psalm 119 and verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119 and verse 18. In fact, maybe let's just back it up. We'll look at, because it's a wonderful passage, this. Let's back up to verse 11. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? You want to be armed? You want to know how not to sin? You're never not going to sin, by the way. But, you know, I want to be armed with, of course, it's the word of God that's going to help you. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, what a prayer. Do you pray like that before you read the word of God? I'd be surprised if you do, but if you do, praise the Lord. But wouldn't it be beautiful just to sit down before you read the word of God, knowing who the divine instructor is, all right, knowing that this is God-breathed, God-inspired, the God-inspired word of God. And so in that recognition, you sit there and you say, Lord, deal, as it says there in verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Wonderful, wonderful words. All right, so recognition of, first of all, being spirit-filled and spirit-led, a recognition of knowing that this is a God-breathed, inspired, written word of God. And then finally, the third requisite is probably the most important, and that is of a surrendered heart. A surrendered heart. Interesting study, doing a word study on surrender. Does anyone know, does the word surrender appear in the word of God? Does anyone know? That's a bit of homework for you. I don't think it does. Pastors need to check on me, but he's not too far away, I'm sure. But the word surrender, Brother D? Ah, there he goes. I did a bit of study. No, no, someone's Googled. Can we trust Google? Deb, you're doing what I did this afternoon just to be sure, and I couldn't find anything, but I'm still... Okay, very good, very good. Yeah, says? Have you got it?
Yeah, no, it just says here about surrendering my body to the flames.
Okay, yep, so that might be close. There's lots and lots and lots of scripture, though, in reference to surrendering, all right, in reference to surrendering. It doesn't, might not mention the word surrendered or surrender, it may, but let's have a look at just a few. Let's turn, we're in Psalm 119, let's have a look at verses 33 and 34. All right, now, reading these scriptures in the context that it, I try and look at it in this way. Try and read this scripture as if the writer had a hard heart. You'd say, well, you can't do what he's trying to say, all right? Or a surrender. You'd have to have a surrendered heart. So he's saying in verse 33 here, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." You say, Mr. Rod, that doesn't mention anything about being surrendered. Well, it does if you look at it in the context. I mean, if a person had a hard heart, would they have a desire to be taught of the Word of God by the Lord? Would they have a desire to gain understanding and keep the law? Would they have a desire to observe it with their whole heart? No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. And so straight away, the alarm bells ring. We as Christians, if we're studying the Word of God, this is probably should have been the first requisite. We need to have a surrendered heart. We need to be solely sold out to the Lord, surrendered to the Lord. We're going to look at some more verses that will do this, that will back this up. Let's just keep going in the Old Testament for a second. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Oops. Proverbs chapter 3. You might know where I was heading here. Verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. What does a person with a hard heart do? They're pretty proud and self-righteous. They're going to look to their own understanding, not to anyone else. They're probably going to be with the attitude or the mindset, you can't tell me what to do. I'll be okay. I'm fine. But a person with a sold-out, surrendered heart will trust in the Lord. All right, and lean not to their own understanding, because they'll realize that their own ways are ways that lead to destruction. Verse 6 there, Proverbs says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Direct thy paths. Let's go into the New Testament. Let's look at, we know Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." A person with a surrendered heart would do that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not seek ye first what Rod wants or what anyone else here at Springwood wants. All right, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Move into Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." All right, transformed by what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Person with a surrendered heart can do that, allows the Word of God to transform them, all right, which has to happen, by the way. It's part of our growth process as Christians, part of the sanctification process, being set apart for God as we grow, as we become more knowledgeable, understanding of the Word of God. You have to have a surrendered heart, though, to do that, all right? Let's look at Galatians in the New Testament. Turn there, if you would, Galatians chapter 2. Right, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Right, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Hang on, a surrendered heart. All right, you're allowing Christ to live in you, as Paul's writing here. So, "And the life," he says, "which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Right, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Beautiful verse, isn't it? James, skip on down to James and chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. All right? A person with a surrendered heart will not only become knowledgeable of the word, but also then apply the word of God, being led of the Spirit, and in recognition that this is God's word, and be transformed. Allow that transformation process to take place. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Right, there's a lot of people out there that are, if you like, I'll use this term, over-educated. There's a lot of people who have a head knowledge full of the Bible. They'll be able to tell you all 66 Bible books of the Bible, and they'll be able to say them backwards, and they'll be able to quote your testaments and verses and all this sort of stuff. And you think, wow, they must be spiritual giants. But when it comes down to it, yes, they've got all this head knowledge, but they're lacking understanding. Why? Well, it's a heart problem. It's a heart condition. All right? It's a heart condition. What a shame to have such a head knowledge full of the Word of God, but yet lacking application. You have to ask yourself whether or not there's an agenda there, an ideology that person's pushing, whatever, but there is not a surrendered heart allowing transformation to take place. I used to teach Sunday school to a primary school class a long, long, long time ago, and we had a girl there who pretty much had a photographic memory, and come to memory verse time, and she'd always be top of the class, and she'd be very confident in saying and reciting her verses, and you know, you'd try and give her extra verses to say, and she'd know it, and she'd say it off by heart. But then you'd ask her, she's not here tonight, by the way, probably should be, shouldn't you, if I'm talking about her, but anyway, she's gone on to serve the Lord, by the way, she's married now, she's doing well, but anyway, you didn't need to know that. But go and ask her then, okay, what does that mean, what you've just said? Now, she was only 7 or 8 at the time, you know, what does it mean? And she'd be like, silent. And that's okay, all right? So it gave me an opportunity to teach as well. But it also highlighted to her that it's one thing to know the Word of God and say it, but it's more important to know what that verse means and apply it. And so that's what I'm trying to emphasize to the Sunday school class that I have this year is one thing to know the Word of God, but it's another thing to apply it. And they're doing really well, by the way. Don't worry, everything's fine. You're doing really well as parents. So, but it's one thing to know the Word of God, but it's more important to put the Word of God into practice. And that comes by an understanding which forms an application which gives you a conviction to stand upon, which makes you more usable, which enriches your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so lots and lots of verses about a surrendered heart. We're in James. Skip over to chapter 4 and look at verses 7 through to 10. Chapter 4 and verses 7 through to 10. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall, what? Lift you up. All right, talking there, I guess, about, if you like, maybe a haughty spirit, a proud spirit. All right, don't just flip around thinking everything's okay. But draw nigh to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Have a surrendered heart. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. You're not going to be left in the lurch. It's a beautiful verse. It's a piece of scripture, really, isn't it? Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Is it a sad verse? No, it's all about humbling yourself and getting close to God. You know, let any proudness or self-righteousness turn to heaviness. Humble yourselves, in verse 10, in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So, you know, it's not the Lord stepping down on us. That's the Lord getting us down to a place where he can actually lift us up as we surrender our lives, our hearts to him. Ephesians chapter 5, just a couple more. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Sorry for all the turning tonight. We've got our Bibles, we should use them, I suppose. Chapter 5 and verse 8. Simple instruction to walk in light. Verse 8 only. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Surrender yourself. All right. Another reference to surrendering. Walk as children of light. Instructions given there. Walk as children of light. If you know the Lord, off the old man, on with the new. Walk out of darkness and follow the light. Walk with the Lord as children of light. Speaking of light, then First Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 22, walking in that light that we just talked about there in Ephesians, and then applying that light of the truth to the way we live, as spoken of here in verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1, says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So walking in light, knowing the Lord, knowing that you're born again, surrendered heart, following Him, and then, of course, living a life of Christ-likeness, where, of course, you'll portray a love for one another with a pure heart fervently. A surrendered heart, the third requisite there of basic Bible study. You know, there are a lot of, and I fear this for our young people today, the world is trying to promote, I'll call it a softness, right? This ideology, if you like, philosophy of, let's just all get on together. Each to their own, do what makes them happy, you know, talking about feelings and things like that. And I hear it a lot of young people today, don't judge. Don't judge. Don't be so judgmental. Don't be so negative. You know, I hear it sometimes a lot, actually, when I start to rant and rave a little bit about the world's situations. Man, you should hear me. But anyway, but I get told sometimes, don't be so negative. Don't be so negative. Don't judge and everything like that. And I fear the devil's working in our young people's hearts especially, and it may be even in our older people as well. Listen, as Christians, we need to be Christians of conviction. And we need to have a basic understanding of the Word of God, all right? Applying the Word of God that gives us a conviction of our hearts. And then we need to stand upon that conviction unashamedly. We need to be steadfast. And if that means standing up against worldliness, against humanism, against the humanistic thoughts and promotions that the world is putting out there today, then so be it. And if it means that we need to be tainted or subjected to being judgmental or negative or old-fashioned, then so be it. What we need to do is honour God. And what we need to do is by having this basic understanding, being armed with the Word of God, with a surrendered heart, knowing that this is God-inspired, written Word of God, knowing and being led of the Holy Spirit, we need to continue to remain steadfast, and we do need to have convictions. Listen, if you're here tonight and you don't have a conviction in your heart, I fear for you. And if you're not willing to stand for a conviction, then really, is it a conviction? I'm not trying to confuse you here, but is it a conviction if you're not willing to stand for it? We need to stand up for the principles outlined in the Word of God. We need to stand up for the basic doctrine outlined in the Word of God. We need to stand up for the God, for God Almighty, our Creator, our Savior, outlined for us in the Word of God. We need to tell the world that He is real. We need to tell the world that He does exist. We need to tell the world that He is the way, the truth, and the light. All right, we need to stand upon these convictions. We need to stand upon the Word of God that it is an outdated, old-fashioned. But it is the light, that it is the truth that will give us light into our paths. Christians of conviction, that only comes from an understanding of the Word of God that only comes by being led of the Spirit, realizing that it is God-inspired written word of God, and having a surrendered heart. So I'll just conclude tonight with that challenge. Have you read your Bible this week? And in what mind frame have you been reading this week? Do you have that surrendered heart that's a prerequisite for basic Bible study to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, to give you an understanding that will form a conviction in your heart to stand upon? Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you now for this time. We ask that you would quieten our hearts, Father, and help us just to look into our own hearts, Father, and see ourselves as you would see us at this time. Father, I thank you for the word of God, and I thank you that in this country we still have the freedom in which to obtain a copy of the word, multiple copies, I'm assuming. Still have the freedom to carry it about, still have the freedom to preach it from the pulpit of this very church. I thank you for that. I thank you that the Word of God is the living Word. I thank you, Lord, that it is truth. I thank you that it reveals your every attribute, your saving grace. So, Father, as the challenge is given tonight, help us to see the importance of reading the Word of God. But Father, before we go and delve into it, help us, Lord, just to take some time out and just to sit and quietly come into your presence. And as the psalmist wrote, Lord, as we read tonight, to help us, Lord, just to humble ourselves, to surrender our hearts, and to ask you to show us things from your word that would cause us, Lord, to be transformed in our thinking, to become more Christ-like. That would give us, Lord, we ask that you would give us understanding of your word. Understanding that would, Lord, then form convictions in our hearts, whereby we would stand upon those convictions and be steadfast, unmovable. So, Lord, we pray that tonight we would just be determined to arm ourselves with the word of God. As Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, Father, there are multiple verses there. If we were only just to stop and think and meditate upon them, Father, I'm sure we'd be encouraged to renew the vigor, renew our mindset and our overall approach to reading the Word of God. So, Father, as we read your Word this week, I pray, Lord, that you would give us understanding. Help us to be Spirit-led as we read your word, in recognition that it is the God-breathed, inspired, written word of God, that it is truth. And above all, Lord, help us to surrender all ideologies, all of our own thinking, and help us, Lord, just to be fully surrendered and given to you, so that you may be able to instruct us, and that we then may allow, again, your word to transform us, change us, mold us, to become more Christ-like and more usable for you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave. If you'd like to come.